learn a little bit here. The shir is a way of giving us a nice pat on the back and a little gift for our couple of weeks, a month really long, the limud in Hilchos Tzitzis, which is coming to an end. Now we're going to take the time to chazer over a couple of key issues in Hilchos Tzitzis, things that are what we're going to call need to know, and give us a little bit more perhaps of a hands-on opportunity to be able to know the ins and outs of some of the major areas in halacha, in a just like take it all and summarize a number of areas that sometimes are lacking in terms of people's understanding of halachas, but also most importantly in terms of their kiyum of the halachas of tzitzis. One definitely has gotten the impression, especially if you've gotten to the end of Hilchos Tzitzis already, the Chazal speak in really incredibly incredibly powerful terms about the major schus that we have in terms of the mitzvah of tzitzis. A major schar that Chazal promised in the Gemara is for a person who's been carrying tzitzis properly. So it certainly behooves like anyone and everyone to try to like really do a major important mitzvah. Kol shekein, when we have a couple of other, I guess we'll call it quick hashkafic pointers when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis. After all, the Torah itself says, we say this twice a day, that one of the goals of the mitzvah of tzitzis is l'man tizkeru, you should remember and go out and keep all the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if I want to have a good solid reminder, a good solid way to be pushing myself to actually being out there and be mekayim kol mitzvos Hashem, so then be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis in the best possible way is going to give me the best possible push to be able to be mekayim kol haTorah kula. After all, if we remember what the Gemara's and Merachos tell us, that the tzitzis have the koach, have the power and ability to protect the person, be idon rischa, the Gemara says. When there's a time that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry at something in the world, and if God forbid there's some kind of a period of tzaros or yisurim that are going to be befalling the world, a person who's mekayim the mitzvah tzitzis has a special skula to not always be affected in a full force by some of the things that he otherwise might have been affected by. The Gemara says, "Be'idan rischa man shina nalei." At a time that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry, he'll give an onesh for people who are not mekayim tzitzis properly. Even though technically speaking, if you're not wearing a beged of four corners, you don't really have to wear tzitzis. But yet, right? The Gemara says, but if you don't, right? You don't have to. But if you don't, be'idan rischa. At a time that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry, God forbid. So then, man shina nalei. Hashem will punish you if you're not doing that, even though you don't have to do it. So kol shekein, if a person goes out of his way to make sure he is actually being mekayim mitzvah, the mitzvah tzitzis properly, he does have that ability to like circumvent or avoid anything that might befall others at a time of rischa. Now, so let's begin and let's talk about some of the dinim over here. And obviously, at any stage throughout this year, feel free to ask questions. And again, we're gonna try to make sure things are as clear as possible. Now, I'm going to begin with something that's not on the sheet. I can't tell you why it's on the sheet. It's either an oversight or I don't know, but it's not on the sheet. So let's just mention very, very quickly. I don't think it's on the sheet, but let's make a point nonetheless. We know the Mechaber brought down in Siman Tes. There was a whole discussion about what kinds of materials are chayav in tzitzis. What kinds of begadim made out of which kinds of material? So let's point out some of the ABCs over there first, and we're going to be discussing this to get into a very, very basic and important shayla. We know that there's a machlokas in the Gemara that ends up being a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Shita of the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch is that only begadim that are made out of wool or linen are chayiv midaraisa in tzitzis. Other things would be chayiv midarabanan. Again, a person wears tzitzis, whereas a beged that's chayiv only midrabanan, like katin or other kinds of materials, then a person is becoming a mitzvah derabanan of tzitzis. But as Moshe points out in one of his shuvos, that means though, it's again, of course, you want to be becoming a mitzvah derabanan, but nevertheless, Moshe points out, let's remember in terms of the skula aspect of tzitzis that it pushes you to remember mimikayim kol haTorah kula. Well, if all I have is a derabanan level reminder, that means I don't really get the full level effect of having that schus and that push to push me to be mekayim kol haTorah kula. So certainly one would like to try to find a kind of a beggar that's chayiv d'oraisa. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, that would only be what for all practical purposes today what we call a wool pair of tzitzis. The Rambam, of course, argues, and the Paskins like the Sheet and the Gemara, the Sheet and the Rishonim, that says that even Shar Minim are going to be chayiv midoraisa and tzitzis. So a kind pair of tzitzis, according to the Psak of the Rambam, is 100% chayiv midoraisa in tzitzis. And again, of course, if you're from the Ashkenazi persuade, so that means the katan is considered a mitzvah d'oraisa of tzitzis. That's a great thing. If you're of the Sephardi descent, so then the only beggar that's going to be chayiv midoraisa for them, according to their psak halach and their mesoris, is going to be a beggar that is made out of wool. Now, nevertheless, the question just 1 minute. We know that the Mishnah Berurah points out that it's certainly commendable for Yerei Shamayim. Let's say, listen, there is a machlokes, and we know that there are paskins that cotton beggar is chayiv midoraisa. Again, these are basics, you learned them a long time ago, but you certainly know them. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says, like, why take a chance? Why not just try to go out of your way to be medactic and wearing a wool pair of tzitzis, a wool beged, and that way you know that you're chayiv min haTorah according to all of the different shitas. That was the recommendation of the Mishnah Berurah, and therefore many b'nai Torah try to go out of the way to wear a wool beged of tzitzis. Now, just to mention before we move on, there's two other shailas about the types of beged that we want to speak about. I'm going to mention this later also. When we speak about the shear of the beged, like the exact size of the beged that's going to be chayiv in tzitzis, the beged is going to get a little bit larger than we might have realized up until now. Once we start talking about some of the practicalities of how to actually get a beged of tzitzis, it is far more important for a person to wear a proper sized beged. And again, you'll hear why I'm emphasizing this later. Far more important to wear a proper sized beged, even if that has to be made out of cotton, which is according to the Ramah chayiv midoraisa and tzitzis, than to be machmir to wear a wool pair. But because wool sometimes can be like uncomfortable and itchy and so a person sometimes might not want to wear a big massive talis katan under his shirt. And if he feels uncomfortable with that, and therefore gets a smaller one, which might not really be chayiv in the mitzvah, might be a bracha levatala, might have a lot of other problems with it, far better to have something that's going to be larger. Again, we'll see what the shear is later, that's made out of cotton, than to be machmir for that Mishnah Berurah. Let's also keep in mind, just in terms of our own background of like things that we know, the famous practice of the grub. The grub, interestingly enough, the grub went out of his way, was makbid to only wear katan tzitzis, not to wear wool tzitzis. Despite the Mishnah Berurah, the Gra lived a century and a half before the Mishnah Berurah, but even though the Gra was a Yirei Shemayim and the Gra understood all the halachas, the Gra was very makbid only to wear a katan pair of tzitzis. Now, why that was true is subject to a lot of speculation. The Gra never really explained to anybody why he did that, but there are a couple of theories as to that practice, some of them, very, very nogeya to us. One of them was what we just mentioned a second ago, which is that a larger pair, the grub, instead of it, has a very interesting sheet about the shear of a beged of tzitzis, which we'll also mention later. Sometimes wearing a beged thing that's extremely large is going to be uncomfortable. Better to wear the katan and make sure that you're able to be keeping the shear of the size of the beged in a better way. Others suggested that the Gra wore the katan tzitzis to emphasize, to make sure people understand that the halacha in fact is like what the Rama paskins, katan is chayiv in tzitzis. We know the Gra was someone who was not scared of anything or anybody. If the Gra felt the halacha was like the Rama, that you're chayiv in katan, that's good enough for him. That's what I'm going to do. I have no need to be machmir like the Shulchan Aruch, which the Gra had every right to say, I think he's wrong, so I just don't care about that. And that's what the Gra did. In order to emphasize that, though, there are many people who followed in the footsteps of the Gra that also went out of their way to be careful to only wear katan tzitzis. So the Chazon Ish, as an example, only wore katan tzitzis. And he said that was the minhag of the Gra, and he understood that that practice is based on the interest in emphasizing that the halacha is like the Rama. Bottom line is, as we say in the pasuk of Mishalach, "Bnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Rama," and that's the way we pass. And the Chazon Ish wanted to be clear to people that's what you do. You want to be machmir, whatever. But bottom line is that's the halacha, and the Chazon Ish did that too. That was the minhag of the people in the Chazon Ish's family, all of the Karelitzes, the instructor, his brother-in-law, the stipler, Chaim Kanievsky, all those kind of people, you notice, only wear katan and begadim. So that's a practice of the Gra. Two other points, though, about the... one and a half other points about the type of beggar that's going to be chayiv in sittes. There is a very interesting halacha that's also brought there in Siman Tes that says that even though we say that shar minim, all other kinds of materials are going to be chayiv in sittes, nevertheless, there is one very, very big, important exception. The exception by itself doesn't sound overly relevant, but the lumdus behind the exception is extremely relevant to us, so let's go through that. The Mechaber Paskins, if you remember, that a beged made out of ore, made out of leather, is not going to be chayiv in tzitzis. So if you're the Harley Davidson type biker Jew who wants to wear his like cool leather beged and get on his motorcycle, so we would say that particular kind of beged is actually, I'd probably say if you ride a motorcycle, that tzitzis dangling from your leather beged also, but that kind of a beged would not be chayiv in tzitzis. Now, why is a leather beged not chayiv in tzitzis? And again, you might even be asking, right now, why do I care? No one really does that. Well, no one does that because, of course, it's not chayiv. We don't do like you're not supposed to, but like I said before, there's a very, very important point lamais that's going to come at us. There's machlokas amongst the poskim why leather is not chayiv in tzitzis. After all kinds of begadim are chayiv. So why not? So the Levush writes over there in Siman Tes a very important klal. He says any kind of material is chayiv in tzitzis. That's true, but it has to be comparable to or similar to a quote-unquote normal beged. A normal beged is something that's woven, you take the different strings and you weave together the shirt, the jacket, the sweater, whatever it is. And leather, which is one chunk of material, but it's not woven together, that's not really called a beged in the eyes of the halacha. That's what the Levush writes. The Igros Moshe has the tshuva where he discussed, well, what would happen if, again, just hear the principles for a second, what would happen if a person wanted to take a big strip of leather, chop it up into tiny little strings, weave together a cool-looking leather beged. It's woven just like a regular beged would be. So Rav Moshe writes that since the origin of the material, something that's in a one flat big big chunk like that. I don't know what it's called, big bolt, a big strip of leather. So Rav Moshe said that the leather will never become chayiv in tzitzis, even if you weave it together. It's not the norm of the way the leather is made. Others argue that, and this is the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says he thinks there's a different reason why leather is not chayiv in tzitzis. He says that leather is never called a beged in the Chumash. As a matter of fact, if you look in the Psukim in Parshas Metzora that speak about the Negayim, Neged Tzaras, that's on a beged, it actually makes a point of saying, O beged, O or. If it's on, the Tzaras falls on your clothing, on a beged, or on leather. So it points out the Aruch HaShulchan, it seems like the Torah is telling you the things made out of leather are categorically not considered a beged in the eyes of the Torah, therefore leather is potter. Why does that matter to us? So it matters to us for the following simple reason. A number of years ago, there was someone who dreamt up an interesting idea that we can make a pair of tzitzis, a beged of tzitzis, out of materials that are even more lightweight and more easy to wear than the common, katan begadim that people wear. And let's make life easier on everybody, which is a great thing to be able to do if that's halachically feasible. And materials that were different kinds of synthetic materials became popular or started appearing on the market as begadim for tzitzis, polyester, polyether, and other kinds of begadim like that, which are most classically made or used in what they today call the mesh kinds of tzitzis. And the shaila arose whether or not those things are actually chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is another way of saying if one wears one of those things with tzitzis, are they actually even doing a mitzvah or not? If they make a bracha on the pair of tzitzis made out of that kind of material, is that considered a bracha levatala or not? What's the shaila over here? So the post can point out that be'etzim, the way the production is made of those kinds of materials, it really is exactly the same as a leather. Again, these are all synthetic means, they're all chemically engineered. These things don't grow on trees, you don't harvest them from the ground, you don't peel them off the back of animals like you do with skin, but you do take stuff that grows out of comes from the ocean or whatever exactly they get it, and you make these, again, for lack of a better word, strips of material, whether it's the polyester, whether it's the the polyethylene, and really exactly the way they come out, the way they produce, is exactly the same as the piece of leather, insofar as there's nothing that's woven together. They're not strings that are put together, tight, woven together, sewn together to make a baguette. If the reason for the p'tur of leather was because they're not, it's not something that's arug, it's not something that's woven, these things would all be subject to the same exact exemption. The argument of the Aruch HaShulchan that, hey, the Torah specifically says or is not called a beged, so that we don't know really what that these are longer discussions, whether or not those things would be called a beged in terms of the halachas of Tumas Begadim Neged Saras. And that part we're not going to get into right now. Since the accepted and more classic understanding of why a leather beged is not chayv and tzitzis was that of the Lavush, who's the older of the two of the more classic sefer out of the two. The common assumption is amongst those, you know, poskim who or rabbanan and poskim people who try to be careful to follow halacha properly would be to avoid at all costs wearing a beggar that's made out of that kind of a synthetic material. Those things, the patches are not really going to be chayiv and tzitzis, which is by itself not necessarily so horrible. Worst comes to worst, I'm just wearing a beged, metzar chayv and tzitzis. If a person makes a bracha on them, so then already you're going to be running into a very, very serious shayla of a bracha levatala. So someone who's trying to be careful to be mekayim and mitzvah properly would definitely want to avoid wearing those. There's a common, but perhaps even misconception, that the mesh part is what causes the quote-unquote problem with the mesh tzitzis and all the little holes and other things that are there. There's a little, tiny, small, not-so-significant issue that's there. There might be a Mishnah in Kalim. Again, it depends how you read the Mishnah. A very big machlokas amongst the Rishonim. There might be a Mishnah Masechta Kalim that says something that's made out of mesh is not Makabal Tumma, therefore is not called a beged. Maybe, maybe not. Not 100% clear. That's not the Pasha reading of the Mishnah according to most of the Rishonim. So the mesh idea, it's mesh, it's not Chayv and Tzitzis, is actually really not so much of an issue. But the issue with those Tzitzis actually is the material that they're made out of. And if it wasn't mesh, it was just one big thing of polyester. So that would also have had the same exact issue. Yeah.
The comment that Rebbe said about having cotton tzitzis that are the red shear and wool tzitzis that are safi, does that also apply for Sephardi?
No. Okay. Yes.
Rebbe in eighth grade specifically got the whole class to switch. Anyone who was wearing wool specifically got them to switch from cotton because he was like telling the definition he really held. You shouldn't definitely be wearing.
Okay, that sounds stupid. Yeah, next.
According to the union, says that cotton is their bottom. Does that mean that the sugur does not apply to the
It applies on a Durabana level. In other words, the Chazal said you're chayv and tzitzis, so, they were giving you a bracha that, hey, hopefully, some degree you'll remember, but that's not what the Torah spoke about.
And now that we said both sides, is it better to say cotton?
If a person is a major Talmud of the Gra, and that's all you do, and you figure out the reason why the Gra was makpid to do that, so then maybe one would wear a katan. A person is a major Talmud of Chazanish, like that. Otherwise, the standard assumption is to try to do like the Mishnah Berurah. But again, if and that's only if, that's, like we said a second ago, going to be able to meet the sheer requirement of the size of the bag. Now, truth be told, they have today different kinds of softer wool begadim that a person can buy that actually are pretty comfortable, just like a cotton baguette. So if you, I'm not even sure if they're more expensive or not, but if you go and buy one of those, so then they're really pretty comfy. So you can have the comfort big factor without having the only reason I made that comment before, just if everyone wears the wool things, and that's what their mesoris is, to be mechayva class, to buy money, to spend money, and buy this sounds a little strange. Like if they're not telling me the chazanisha, then the little kids don't have to do that. Anyway, let's now speak a little bit more about the shiur of the beged. The shiur of the beged. What exactly is a beged of tzitzis? So we spoke up until now about what kind of materials, again, different different options that are there. And now we're going to speak about the size. Now, in theory, We've all learned these halachas before, so we can do this on a quicker level, which we're going to try to do because I want to be sensitive to the time, and there's a lot to be done over here. So you know the Mechaber and the Ramah both bring down a somewhat ambiguous rule that tells us that the shear of the beggar has to be the size that Rosh of Aruba of a katan that can walk outside by himself in the street would wear and not be embarrassed if he walked outside with that, or that an adult would not be embarrassed to walk outside with if he went in the street. What exactly does that mean? So let's say it over in simple terms. What that means is that the size of the beggar has to be big enough that it's the way the poskim explain, has to be big enough that if you were to wear it, let's for argument's sake, over your shirt, it would be, in terms of proportion, it would be proportionally normal for you to like wear that kind of thing. Everyone knows that you don't wear a sideless, not actually complete thing when you walk outside in the street. Like, you're all going to be embarrassed if, like, what you wear outside when you walk out your dorm is a pair of tzitzis and nothing else. We're not speaking about that it has to be big enough that it covers your body like a robe. It's just clear the halacha is not like that. Big enough means that if I was to walk outside, and let's say I I'm wearing a sweater over my shirt. Right? Nice, easy example. Okay? And this sweater is the same sweater that I've had since I was 3 years old. And I put it on, and it comes up to here on me. And I can walk outside like this, like stuck with the sweater. So, like, that'll look a little funny, right? So I'm not going to do that. If the sweater maybe is not totally matim to my extremely large stomach over here, and it sticks up, like, over here and not down there, I don't know, maybe I would wear that. It's like, or as the Mishabura says, if you wear it b'derech arai outside, you go outside for 2 minutes, you threw it on, it's not crazy. It proportionally fits the person's body, that would have been good enough. So if you can, for argument's sake, we speak about, if you translate that into the beged of a pair of tzitzis, what that would mean is, if the person was to throw that on top of his shirt, would he go out, would he think he looks like an idiot when he walks outside, if it's like too small, so then you'd say, like, what's he doing with the little, thing? And if it's big enough, so it, like, if it fits the look of how big that person is, so that would have been chayv and tzitzis. Now, that, like we said, it sounds very, very subjective. So Mishabura points out, the early poskim, really stemming from the time of the late Rishonim, gave shiurim in terms of sizes, actual measurable dimensions, how big the tzitzis are meant to be. So we're going to start talking about that. And then we'll jump into a lot of the other questions about the shear of the beged. So we know that the Mishabura brings that there's two different things that one should be keeping in mind. The Bidi Eved, he says, it should be at very, very least three quarters of an amma long. That should be the minimum shear of the beged. And really, the Mishabura says, l'chatchila, what everyone sort of agrees upon is for sure, chayv and tzitzis, is if it's one amma long in front, one amma long in back, that would be chayv and tzitzis. And again, just to emphasize, the day that says three quarters of an amma would also be on a bidyeva level chayv and tzitzis, that means three quarters of an amma in front, three quarters of an amma in back, on both sides of the person's body, you would have to have that three quarters of an amma size. Okay, now how big is that, or how big is an amma? So on the sheet in front of you, have once again a little chart. According to Rav Chaim, no, the amma is 48 centimeters, three quarters of an amma. If anyone's phones are not up here and someone still has a calculator, three quarters would be 36, and three quarters of an amma of the Chazon Ish, which is 58 inches or centimeter, rather, is going to be what? 43 and a half. I'll take that, whatever it is. Now, that's going to be the bare minimum size that one possibly could get away with wearing and be yotze the mitzvah. As the Mishabura points out, if it's anything less than that, the person has an issue of a bracha levatala. A bracha should not be made on a pair of tzitzis at anything less than one of those two sizes. And l'chatchil, a person should make sure, if he wants to make a bracha on his tzitzis, which most of us like to do, and you don't want to be making a bracha levatala, it is definitely highly recommended, one should do, is to make sure that the pair of tzitzis is like we said, an amma in front and an amma in back. Now, here we come into a lot of other important discussions, though, about what exactly that means and how do we translate that into practice. Okay, let's speak about a couple of different issues. First and foremost, there is a large machlokas between the Mishabura and the Chazon Ish how do we calculate where this amma is supposed to be? Okay, and again, just to emphasize in case I haven't been doing that, I think I have, but let me just like do it one more time and feel comfortable that I emphasize this over here. If the beged is not big enough, right, that means it's not chayiv in tzitzis, and that means we make a bracha levatala when we wear that. A lot of us don't like doing that. We don't like doing averos. We don't like making bracha levatalas. Therefore, if one is part of the I don't like a bracha levatala club, they want to try to make sure the thing that they wear in tzitzis is large enough that they know that they are allowed to make a bracha on that. Got the idea? Is that clear? A little clear? Okay. So now, let's translate that into practice. How do we do this? So Mishabura has a chumrah. And the chumrah of the Mishabura is that, he's not saying it as a chumrah. His shita, what he holds the halacha is, out of the two opinions that we're going to discuss, is the one that happens to be more stringent. The Mishabura says that shear of an amma is only measured, again, you saw this when you're learning Mishabura, that shear of an amma is only measured from the end of the neck line and down. In other words, if a person has what they'll call today a V-neck pair of tzitzis, and the V comes down to like somewhere over here, the amma would begin here. And that's where you'd start calculating your 58 ammas, or your 58 centimeters. So for example, stand up and do the following thing. Let's say a person has a neckline, a V-neck, that comes down to, give me a good spot, over here.
Yeah.
What was that? I can't count. One, two. Let's just use here for argument's sake. And he wants his beged to be, like the Mishabura says, 58 tefachim. And again, we always assume like the shum of the Chazon Ish, that centimeter. So that means his beged has to come down to about over here. Okay, that's a little bigger than many of the things that you'll find on the market. But that would be the way the Mishabru would tell you the pair of tzitzis has to be made. Now, don't get so scared just yet. Let's wait a little bit. Now, the Chazon Ish said that no, he doesn't think that's true. The Chazon Ish said that the shear of an am is measured from the shoulders. It doesn't matter to us that there's a opening on the tzitzis like that, as long as you're putting your head through the shoulder, the head, it's all considered part of the beged of tzitzis. So from wherever the shoulder, wherever it starts going down in front, that's where we're allowed to start counting the shear of an amma. So for example, once again, if we take our 58 centimeters and we take our amma over here, so according to the Chazon Ish's own shita, if you went from your shoulder, right, with the roughly over there, so you're going to talk about an amma that goes over here. Now that already is something that maybe a little bigger than a lot of people wear, but it's not, I think we hope for, it's not such a quote-unquote crazy thing. It's a shear of a beged of tzitzis. Yeah.
According to the question, how far down can the neck thingy go?
As long as you want. Just you have to have 58 centimeters after that.
It can go within like a tenth of the actual bottom?
It goes as long as you, no, because you only start counting 58 centimeters from where the end of the neckline is. If you have a neckline that goes down to your feet, according to Chazon Ish. Oh yeah, as big as it is. Yeah, as big as it is. I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question. Yes, as big as it is. Now, here I'm going to call it a way to try to combine two of the opinions to make us a little bit more comfortable if need be. Yeah.
If we measure from the way the Chazon Ish measures, and someone's body torso is longer than an amma. So,
like, you
wouldn't feel comfortable wearing
that
outside. Should you still wear
a longer one then? No, so if a person is, like, taller or whatever it is, and that feel like that size of an amma, like, for him, to, like, comes to a weird spot, it'd be pretty big, like,
right,
like to do. If that would be true, then the post can say one should adjust to his own, you know, bodily needs or whatever it is. Yeah.
What's he saying, like, in the ballpark of
58
centimeters?
58 centimeters. 58? Not 57, 58. Not 57 and a half, 58. Not 59, 58. As in 58. We're all going to do this. Don't worry. We're going to get up. We're going to be doing this now. Yeah. Now. What was that? Be as long as you want. But the shear is 58. Yeah.
What would happen? Opposite question of Jacob. What happens if the person's torso is shorter than that?
Right. So one aitza that I often give is the following thing. Just try to listen carefully. And this is something I always do when a boy turns bar mitzvah, where now he's chayiv min haTorah and all the mitzvahs, but bar mitzvah kids tend to be a little bit smaller than grown adults. That's just the way God made the world. So to put on a pair of tzitzis that actually meets all of the requirements that you know when you're comfortable, you're not making a bracha v'atol, you're actually doing a mitzvah here, on a little kid, like 13-year-old little kid, like don't offend the kid, he's a big boy, today I'm a man, but if I'm a little kid, when he's 13 years old, that like could be a little bit outrageous, okay? So what one could do, la'niyos da'iti, is the following combination of a number of different things, and that is like this. If you have, just listen, I might have to repeat this also. If you have a shear of 58 centimeters, an amma from the shoulders, like the Chazanish already said that that's called an amma, you can make a bracha, that's a shear of a tzitzis, no problem. Okay? If you have 48 centimeters from, which is the shear of an amma according to Reb Chaim Noah, from the neckline and down, which is shorter, right? 48 centimeters only comes up till here. Normally we don't really totally assume like the shita of Reb Chaim Noah, we try to be maxed, not like that. Yeah. And again, archaeological things are not always the greatest of proofs to things, especially because sometimes there are steros in archaeology. But according to most of the things that we've ever found from way back in the time of the Bais Sheni, the way measurements work out were fascinatingly enough, exactly like the Shita Chazanish. So that's why Lanius Daiti, aside from the fact that anyway, the Mishnah Berurah says you should go follow the more chumor approach when it comes to shiurim. There is a lot of evidence that was the correct we're doing. But Reb Chaim now has 48 centimeters, an amma being this big. So if you have an amma from 48 centimeters from the neckline, right, and you have 58 from the shoulders, yeah, and the 48 centimeters from the neckline is anyway 3/4 of an amma of the Chazanish, right? So you have, like, most of the opinions would freely hold in that kind of a scenario that you are going to be chayv in tzitzis in that, right? So that's one eitzah if you want to not have, like, an overly long, beged. If you do that, so then you have, what do you call it? Then you have, you're on very safe ground. In other words, I would recommend to somebody, like, do not, again, if you're a real Chazanishnik, right, then you can measure from the shoulders, and that's what it goes. That's it. And that's really what they do. In other words, if you go see Rav Nissen Karelitz, Ashlita, Shavuot Shalema, you'll see his tzitzis come up to here, and they're from the shoulder down 50 centimeters. That's the way they do things. Most people in the world are not Chazanishnikim, and we try to follow a little bit more like the opinions of the Mishnah Berurah. So if you want to, like I said, do that, but not be like so overly enveloped in your tzitzis, and you don't want to have trouble tucking into your pants and all of that, that eitzah would be a safe thing to try to do. Then if you do that, then you can make a bracha on it. If you're not doing that, it's a little bit more tricky. You're really taking a chance and any risk. So something I think we should walk away as first take home lesson would be to walk away, trying to make sure that the shiurim met that particular system that we just described. Now, of course, you realize that necessitates, when you buy a pair of tzitzis, let's just now speak about the world of, like, the practical. I walk into the store and I want to buy a pair of tzitzis, okay? What do I do now? There's only one way to know that the pair of, the beged that you're buying, you see, we're going to get to soon the idea that you can never buy a ready-made pair of tzitzis. You're always going to have to make them, okay? Or at least have someone make them in front of you on these spots. Before we get to that, okay, when you go to buy a beged of tzitzis, the only way to know that you're buying something that is actually, like, safe for you to make a bracha on, that you're not, like, going to be, like, messing yourself up tomorrow morning with a bracha levatala, is to actually walk into the store with a ruler. And you have to actually just measure the thing and make sure that it fits those requirements, that they don't, like, write this on labels and whatever it is. So you do have to go in. Store owners, certainly here in Yerushalayim, are not, like, overly used to people doing it, but enough, there's, like, enough people that walk in, like, with, like, rulers and whatever it is, and And you know, they'll like, you know, smile, like, you know, stores don't like to be bothered. So I just buy the dumb pair, get out of here. Like, they just want to sell a thing. But they'll, you know, say, oh, yeah, you know, you're one of those guys. And you sit with a pride, you say, yes, I'm one of those guys, and this is what we do, and we want to make sure we're doing things right. Very often, my own experience has been, if you actually know what you're talking about, sometimes like a store or the kid behind the counter actually is interested in understanding like what you're doing, like, and how this all works. So it's only a nice thing to do to educate others as well in the process. But again, amongst B'nai Torah, these are normal things, and it's totally, you know, totally comfortable, regular to go in and do. But it also means that the begadim are going to be, no matter which way you slice it or dice it, on the larger size of the things that are being sold in the stores. Now, if you really, 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 really would have wanted to be machmir, which I'm not recommending someone to do like that, and so I shouldn't really say that. If you wanted to follow the Mishnah Berurah's idea of having the measurement go from the neckline down, but you don't want a pair of tzitzis that like really like, you know, extends like a little bit further. Again, they're not really so uncomfortable. Like they're really okay, especially if you get the let's remind us what we said before, either cotton tzitzis, so like they're just not so uncomfortable, they're easy to wear, or like the nicer kind of wool that we were describing. I hate doing this over here, but I don't know what this stuff is called. I'm not about to like get undressed in front of anybody, but this kind of wool, I don't know what this is, but it's just like a softer wool, regular wool, but it's just processed in a way that makes it a little bit more comfy. So that, you know, that can be large without really intruding on anyone's sensitivities. But they do make begadim that are called amma al amma. That's an expression that's used in tzitzis stores and tzitzis pricing. If you ask for a bag that's an amma al amma, what that is it's an amma of the Chazon Ish in front and back with a very, very, very small neckline. Small enough that when you put it on, like, you sort of do feel like you're about to choke to death, but your head can get through like the thing and like that. But they're not as long as others because there's not that much room for like the neck and head to get through the thing. And those are available if you like don't want such a long pair. Yeah, you know, this is what the question is. Yeah.
If you buy a big shoe and you like scrunch it up and put it in your pants, is that a problem? Because you're making it smaller.
What does scrunch up mean?
Like you roll it up.
Yeah. That's fine.
Roll it
up.
You don't roll it. Uses it to fold it neatly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not telling anyone how to like do their fashion things at all, but like just like tucking into your pants is usually just like fine. Just do that. You don't have to like roll it up or like fold it. What was that? You can scrunch them. You can roll them. You can fold them. You can do whatever you want. Yeah.
When you just like to walk into the store, they really be talking about like the actual tzitziot, because like the
baguette
itself, like usually know what size.
Yeah, that doesn't. Yeah, you have to measure them. Size is the size or that. When they say the size 18 or size this or that, or 22
like ketchup,
or.
Like ketchup bread. Like,
yeah, they're almost size, you know, most of them are no good. Yeah. Most of them are no good. Correct. Yes, you have to measure every single one that you see.
They just change the sizes.
No, the sizes are most of the sizes that you buy are not really so big, and the sizes do vary from baguette to baguette. Actually, also, yeah. Yeah.
If someone had sewed up before he put on the tzitzis, right, so he sewed it up to a certain amount, and then after the tzitzis were on, the sewing came out. Can I re-sew it?
Yeah.
Without.
You got lost the stuff.
What tzitzis wool that you were talking about? I haven't seen it with like the black stripes. Is there any need to wear specifically the black stripes? And what's the reason in that?
We'll say the fayyafin, and that's irrelevant right now, but there's not a major in it. One does not have to do that if they, you know, don't like it. Yeah?
But if the baguette rips down, because we said it, it means it's sheer baguette from the Chazon Ish.
Depends what rips, depends how whatever it is, but you don't have to worry about that. Yeah?
If someone has a baguette with 30 since it's tied on, and then they sew it up, like, just so it gets higher, is there an issue with
that? If there's any reason to be matched to them in the first place, which oftentimes there is a legitimate smash, and it's fine to cause a bad result. So. Yeah.
When I went to the store over there, so I sort of just asked the guy behind the counter, he was like, looking at Rachel, and I asked him, where do you have a pair of old shoe? And so he gave me like, this huge pair. I think it, and it also has like a shoulder, so like very lengthy.
Top of the shoulder suit.
Is that like also something?
Top of the shoulder suit, yeah. Yeah. Okay, now, the
scrunches up by the shoulders, though, is that?
Scrunching up is always okay. You can scrunch anything up you want. Now, there's one further discussion that Moshe just mentioned, that you want to know also when you're purchasing a beged, and that's also machlokus in the Chazon Ish and the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah holds that the shoulders, and I think you know this was, you know, Simon Edison, something you learned. You learned, you know, this the simon before. The Mishnah Berurah holds that the shoulders do not have a clearly defined shear to them. But the Mishnah Berurah says that the shoulders have to be big enough that it's clear that it's still part of the beged and not just a random strap holding the front and the back together. So if you have a beged here and a beged in your back and you have a string that you just attach to that part and that part, and I'll just drape it over your shoulders, which, again, they're not overly common in adult pair of tzitzis, but when you buy like the little kitty things that have like Superman and Batman on the front, you'll notice that they oftentimes have these very, very thin little shoulder straps. The Mishnah Berurah says that is not okay, you know, to have. But if the shoulder is like, it looks like it's one big, you know, beged as opposed to two things that you put together. So that, the Mishnah Berurah says, would have been totally fine, and that's still called a beged. The Chazon Ish held had a raya based on a Mishnah Kalim, brought in a Gemara Masechta the Shabbos. A very interesting raya in terms of how you calculate shiurim. The Gemara seems to have a din. The Gemara has a din that when you have a toilet seat like that, so toilet seats are like donuts. You have like a hole in the middle, correct? Otherwise, it'd be like a little messy, right? So you have a hole in the middle of the toilet seat. Now, the Gemara has a line that what could happen if the width of the actual, I don't, like I'm looking at a picture, you're not seeing what I'm, this is a toilet seat, and this is the hole. Okay? So if the width of the seats are not bigger than the hole in the middle, this side is not bigger than the hole, and this side is not bigger than the hole. So Gemara has a comment that Asi Avira Mehagis Mavatale, Asi Avira Mehagis Mavatale, and the whole thing is not Mekabel Tum, it's not a Kli, and it doesn't exist. What that means is that the air spaces from the right and the left and the middle of the toilet seat, if the seat itself is not wider than the airspace in the middle, the airspace is mevatel the significance of the little seat, and that would no longer be called a kli. Halachically speaking, that's a nothing, no Kabbalah Stoma, no whatever it is. Chazon Ish said that the same thing should be true. If you were to have a pair of tzitzis, you have a beged with a hole in the middle, and you don't have shoulders, because that's the part where the hole is, right? They make the hole where you stick your head, and heads are next to shoulders. So if the shoulder straps are not wide enough that they're bigger than the hole in the middle, the Chazon Ish argue that that would have been mevatel the shem beged from the status of a beged from the tzitzis, from the beged, and one should not wear or make a bracha on one of those. So there's a, well, the, each one separately. So there's an expression, and this you will see on a label. It's still kedai to measure because they're not always accurate with this. But you know, there's an expression that's called you know, ketefayim of the Chazon Ish. You want, or Chazon Ish pair of tzitzis. So those will often have the shoulder straps that are a little bit larger. Again, if you're not sure, it's not visible to you, that's the way it is. Just take the, lay it out on the table, just measure the size of the beged, measure the hole. If the number in the middle is smaller than the number on the sides, then you know that you're okay according to the Chazon Ish. It's a very easy thing to be able to do. And like I said, they're very, very commonly available without an issue. And that's more or less a picture of a more mohudar kind of a beged. Again, it's not a bad idea, as Mordechai had asked before, to take some time, whether it's tonight or tomorrow or sometime in the very, very soon immediate future, to take a ruler and just double check that you're actually really going to be okay. If you're not, just ask someone who is okay or someone who wears a talus in the morning to make a bracha for you. Yeah.
Is it crazy?
And then like get a new one soon. Yeah.
Is it common that people are choshish for the neckline of the Mishnah Berurah, but the Alav of the Chazon Ish?
Meaning to have a neckline and still let the thing be very big? When you say common, what does that mean?
I'm saying like it's not like a minute of shiur. I'm saying people being overly mad or too many different. Maybe it's like if you're kosher for the Chazon Ish, maybe not.
Yeah, no, there's no. You see, you know, there's no steer between the two because the Chazon Ish is the shiur is just a measurement. It has nothing to do with a shita. We're not saying I'm mixing this with that. It's it has to be an amma. How big is an amma? An amma is 58 centimeters. Where did they have that from? The necklace. Okay, good. So that's a, you know, there's a common, you know, I'm going to use an expression amongst my friends. I don't know, everyone does that. I don't know if that's common for, like, every guy out there in the world in, you know, Camp Levi. I can't tell you that. What?
That's like one
sheet that is Mevatulah. Yeah, no, not at all. They're totally, you know, not related in the slightest bit. Okay. But again, that it's a little bit harder to find a beggar like that. That's not, you know, and that's not overly easy to find in a store. You know, you have to like look car, whatever. You have to, you know, work that out. It's going to be easier to find 58 from the thing, 48 from the neckline, and the 3/4. That you know, then you're pretty safe. You do that. That's you know, that's not hard to find. Yeah. Yeah.
Bigger the bigger, it usually goes like very wide. So, is it and it ends up being that you're like barely wearing, like it's like falling off here. It's like,
yeah, gain some weight. Put your shirt on and button your buttons, and it probably stays on. I think, like fall off, like just comes out of your pants and all.
Like it barely fits on the shirt. It's like falling off. This,
the neck is so wide.
It's
so
wide open around,
and
then it's like barely on the shoulders.
So
big.
You
want
to put your shirt on?
No, I mean the hole is big. So
when you put on the baggage,
sure, the baggage only starts here.
That's all straight talking about. Wow.
Why did I never see this before?
What?
Why did I never see that before? They just go like this.
No, it doesn't. It's like, but it's like, there's like just.
It's almost like wine on the shoulder.
You're saying it's wide on the shoulder
side. Do they have that are long this way or like short this way?
Yeah. Tall and skinny, not just
tall and skinny.
Not big and tall.
Tall and skinny. Again, if you're most of the time, you know, someone who would want a longer size of tits would also want to make sure the shoulders were like on the mahudar end, you know, also. So the shoulders would be somewhat large. So that does exist. But again, when we say the hole is small, that's going to be a little bit, like a little bit choky.
Could be oval shaped and therefore thin on the side.
What was that?
Could be oval shaped and be thin, like width-wise be thin.
Could be. It could be, yeah. Again, a lot of people wear these and they don't choke. You know, you have like, I'm like alive, and I have like a shirt with shoulders and a necklace, yeah.
Is there a problem with the baguette touching like your body?
No.
No problem?
Nope. No problem at all. No real reason to, yeah.
According to the question, the shoulders have to be wider with the neckline, with the neckline. I'm assuming that also has to be
just as big as
the hole, or the hole is also.
You got me.
Based off that Mishnah, it says that the whole thing has to be.
Means only the hole or the V is that the V part also
underneath the V.
Right.
Part,
no, the same rule, but the Mitzvah is it though? True. A V by definition gets smaller from the top of the neck. Right, so if it's like that at the neck, it's gonna for sure be like that lower down. Yeah. Yeah.
This might be the same like a folding question, but just to be sure, sometimes like or a lot of the time, like if you have a V, the flaps I guess fold over. It's not an issue.
You can take the flaps off if you want. Yeah, the flaps don't add anything.
They're just like
that. Even exists.
Yeah, it's fine. That's right, yeah.
Sometimes it's just have like little
like
fancy like
tassels.
Yeah.
Little tassels.
Part of the shoe?
No. The fair cool. Okay. Moving right along. Let's get going. We don't want things to be too late over here. So once again, so those are a couple of pointers about the beggar. And again, I do want to emphasize that these halachos are. But the shear of the beged are really one of the most like elementary, basic parts of the mitzvah of tzitzis, and the like. This is something that we're going to call is a must that a person like has to make sure that the shear of the beged is going to be appropriate. Otherwise, again, you're not being mekayim the mitzvah, etc. We spoke about this a number of times already, and far overrides the questions that we mentioned earlier. The cotton wool. Just to summarize one more time. So if you have, even though like, you know, I've grown up, I always wore wool and I like the racing stripes and all that kind of stuff. But if the tzitzis is too small, then like, don't do that, right? Buy a bigger pair. If it's uncomfortable for you, so that doesn't matter. Just wear something kind, because at least the bottom line is, the halacha is that kind is going to be chayv in tzitzis, and far better a larger shear made out of kind than a smaller shear made out of wool. That's a dover pasha. Okay. Moving right along. I'm not going to read this inside right now, but I did mention just for what I was called Avas Yisrael's sake. What I mean by that is that it's important, at least let's give over a word of outlook and Ashkafa here. In the world of halacha, there's always has to be two planes that a person views things through, two glasses that a person looks at halachos with. On the one end, for himself, when he wants to be mekayim a mitzvah, every person wants to make sure he's doing it as best as he can. We want to make sure we're doing it right, and we always strive to keep a standard that when we learn through the rules, again, I hope we realize that whatever we just did right now, there's a Shulchan Aruch, a Mishnah Berurah, there's no weird things that were coming out over here in the slightest bit. You want to make sure that you're doing it right. On the other hand, sometimes you'll see that, hey, a lot of people seem to not really follow these rules. That's true. A lot of people don't always follow this because a lot of people don't know all that much about halacha. That's just the way things are. But that doesn't mean that you automatically always look down upon everybody and say, oh, these people are a bunch of, you know, fools and amei aretz and bayad and whatever it is. It's always a good idea to try to just make sure that in your own mind, even if you're doing something very, very different and better and more acceptable, but if you're at least aware of like what the basis for some kind of leniency would be, it does make it a little bit easier to look at others and say, yeah, okay, you know, listen, he's, you know, there is a shita like that, and you know, I might not want to do that, but it's something that's legitimate. So, for example, the Aruch HaShulchan over here says as a what he calls a limud tzvos, he says. I want to try to say something nice about people who don't follow the shear of a beged. So he says maybe they would look at things and say that the shear that's mentioned in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch was based upon or for I should say people who actually like wear that as a beged. We're not really doing that. And the truth of the matter is, we all at least certainly when you're married, you wear a talus gadol, a talus like the davening talus is for sure. 100% the size and the shear of what a kosher pair of tzitzis is, because it's like 10 times the size of what a bare minimum kosher pair of tzitzis is all about. So anyway, if you know we're wearing a talus, so like at least once a day I can do that. Or again, if the shear, if the beged that we're wearing is not really a piece of clothing, so then maybe wearing something smaller might still be a kiyum of the mitzvah. So that is a justification that the Aruch HaShulchan suggests to defend those who wouldn't necessarily be doing things the way the halacha really would want people to be doing. So at least we know that there is a way to look at others and say, you know, okay, maybe that's sort of okay. Sometimes we don't have that option. Sometimes there are issues that, like, okay, I don't know, I guess they're doing something wrong. Again, here's an example where you should be trying to keep for yourself the correct standards, but at least there's, you know, a little swara to not look at a bad eye rather at somebody else.
Or the mesh
tzitzis. It's really, really hard. Really hard to find. Really hard to find. Again, it could be if the only reason behind the leather thing was like the Aruch HaShulchan said, it could be that maybe this would be called a beged. Again, there's a lot of rights that that's not the case. But it's much harder to find a real justification for that.
Would you want to point it out to someone if they really don't know it and you think they may or
not? If they'll care about it, then maybe. But it's never a good idea, like a pointing thing, a general, like, you know, unless someone really asks you, like, if there's like a reason why you think like you're in a unique position to point something out, like better just to sort of, you know, hopefully get around to it sometime.
No, if you're like friends with them, they wouldn't take it offensively at all. Like,
if you're friends, you can do whatever friends would do with each other, but you have to make sure you're actually friendly. That's the and we'll remain friends. That's part of the key also. There's a vort I heard once from Nissim Alpert. They're from his son, but he said it several times. Nissim was one of Moshe's biggest tummies. He's one of the Gedolim in America from the time of Moshe Feinstein. So he had said, it was in the last expression of Vayetze, you'll know, when Yaakov Avinu comes to the well, should I say the vort quick? I'm looking at the clock. Yaakov comes to the well, so he says, Yadatim Lavan ben Nachar, do you know who Lavan is? They say, Yadano. We know who he is. Hashalom Lo, they say, what was the first one? One second, I skipped the question. I forgot. There were the three. What was that? That's the third question. What was the first one? Right, my Charon Nachlo, very good. They say we're from Charon. The second one, they say we know who he is. Then he says, they say, Shalom, he loves okay. Behine Rachel, Bito, Bo, Imatzon. Here's Rachel coming along with the thing. And then Yaakov gives them, listen, what are you all sitting around, like lounging around the wall for? It's, the day's not over, get out there and work and whatever it is. So Nissen pointed out a very, very simple thing. If Yaakov wanted to give them Musar, like, why didn't he give them the and point this thing out when he first showed up at the well? There's a very, very simple diuk in the Pesukim. The first two times he asked the question, they answered the question. Where are you from? I'm from Char. Do you know Laban? Yes. Is he okay? Yes. And hey, there's his daughter Rachel coming along with the sheep. So Nissen Albert pointed out that once Yaakov saw that he was actually engaged in some kind of a dialogue, there was a response, they offered information on there, they were talking to him, there was a relationship, so he felt that, okay, he could say something. But before there's actually any real, you know, something, a person really should not walk around, you know what they call it, you know, telling other people anything. As a mushroom once, remember this past summer, so I had been giving in the summer, I'm often involve a different kind of quote-unquote kirov activities, more than trying to make care of myself all the time. We were making tzitzis with a group of kids, and so they had pulled out of the box, I guess someone, whatever it was, they were like a bunch of canvas, got them, and then they had these, what they call the army tzitzis. The army makes things out of a green kind of, again, polyethylene, material that's so you don't have to wear those anymore, but that's like a standard, you know, army fair pair, which is anyway a big problem in terms of what color the tzitzis have to be. Again, you probably learned this was the green, this was the white. A big shiloh what to do when you wear those. You definitely should not be doing that. I'm not wearing the green things, but the mice, they made it of a material that are really not chayav tzitzis. So for the kids that, like, you know, had some like connection to something, you know, you could try to like maybe recommend, hey, just take the white one. But a kid who like was not overly like caring, like maybe it's better with that than to wear nothing, you know, and like it's his first time seeing a pair of tzitzis and he wanted to be like cool and like think he was wearing a soldier tzitzis and whatever it was, okay. So there's there could be worse things a person would do like that. But you know, for someone who is a normal halachic observant Jew, so you really do want to avoid the synthetic material tzitzis. Okay. Let's speak about the Shema a little bit when it comes to tzitzis, moving quickly into one of the next areas here. Again, so you have the advantage of having learned this before, so let's discuss the Shema. There's two different areas of the Shema that we want to speak about. One is what every tzitzis, and when we're speaking about the chutim, the strings right now, the strings always have to be made of the Shema in order to be kosher for the mitzvah of tzitzis. What does that entail? So the Mechaber brings down that as long as the tviyah, the spinning of the thread, was done the shame mitzvah tzitzis, so that is kosher. Those threads could be used, the strings could be used for the mitzvah tzitzis. There is a sheet in the Rishonim that holds that there has to be something called niputz l'shma. The niputz means the combing of the wool. After you shear the sheep and you comb the wool out from all the gook and the dirt to make it into like regular nice little fleece, was white as snow kind of fleece. So that's called niputz. That's the term for that activity. There is a sheet in the Rishonim that says the niputz, the combing of the wool, has to already be done l'shma. Already by then you're already making the strings, and that has to be done l'shma. the Ramah brings that Taminag Lahakel Beniputs. The common custom is to be lenient and not require that the Niputs has to be done the Shem Mitzvah Tzitzis. And it's sufficient to just have the spinning of the threads and strings being done of the Shema. Now, Mishnah Berurah points out that, says if you look, the preacher brings in the name of the Maharal, Shemaskim de l'chatchilo yesh lahachmir lenapis the Shema. The Mishnah Berurah says, he quotes Achronim that say, a big Achronim, the Maharal was a big name, the l'chatchilo person should try, if he can, to have niputz l'shma, that's the expression, on his tzitzis. Now, we should be aware that, although the Mishnah Berurah says that is what one should do, and if a person has, can do that, that's certainly a great thing to do. Let's remind ourselves, and then let's point out a couple of different things about this question now. First and foremost, for many, many, many generations, it was not so easy to get tzitzis rings that were niputz l'shma. This is not always a time-honored thing that everyone had always done. And at the same time, today it is more common that these kinds of strings are available in the store. If you go to any one of the tzitzis stores and you ask them for niputz l'shma, they'll have them sitting there. They're very, very commonly available. They are, though, somewhat significantly more expensive than your regular tzitzis string. So when we speak about like lechatchila, one, the Mishnah Berurah says lechatchila, one should be machmir for that. One has to try to budget himself, to see whether or not he can actually afford a pair of strings that are niputz l'shma. If it's costing a bit of a person, says, listen, that's just like a lot of money, and that's rough to do. So again, the Ramah says very, very clearly, the kame minog is to be makel, and not what do you call it, and not to use niputz l'shma. There was a story a number of years ago. Someone was visiting Rav Shteinman Shlita, and they were discussing the topic of niputz l'shma, and the person was very, very pushy about that. So Rav Shteinman had said to him, Rav Levi had said to him, that he said, what do you mean, you're going to tell me that the tzitzis I wore my entire life up until whatever is or pasa, and my parents, he said, we have put things in perspective and in proportion, but at the same time, in the generation that we live in, they are common, and it is possible to get, but there is a cost issue, so one would have to price them. It's not uncommon for a pair of niputz l'shma strings to cost, just the strings themselves, to cost in the realm of 70, maybe even 80 shekel, just for the strings. That's what they are more expensive. And one does have to take that into consideration if they want to do that, but you should be aware, again, if the money does exist, and whatever, it's certainly an easy thing to do. It's the same tying as any other string. It's just those strings are a little bit more mahudar. But again, you have to factor in the cost. While we're on that particular subject about the Shema, let's add one thing that I think was not on the sheet over here. Well, it sort of is. It's there in passing. I just didn't put all the names of the different opinions. The Mechaber brings that when we speak about the Shema, a person has to say when he starts to spin the strings that I'm doing this Hashem mitzvah tzitzis. Now, there are two things that we just learned from that. And the one thing we want to clear from the Mechaber, the other thing is a discussion. And one thing is that the Mechaber tells us that the Shema means that a person has to say with their mouth, I am doing this Hashem mitzvah tzitzis. Thinking that alone is not, certainly not what's supposed to be done, the Chatchila. A very big shaylah b'di'eved that counts. Okay, so a person can get himself in a questionable situation, but it has to be said that what we're doing is the shame mitzvah tzitzis. Now, what are we doing? Let me explain the expression doing. There is a very not old discussion. It's only as old as the age of machinery is. But from the time that machines first started being able to do things, there has been a discussion in the poskim whether or not something that is machine made can be counted as l'shma. If, when I press the button to get the system working, I say, I'm setting this whole system up, pressing the button, getting the thing working, the shame mitzvah tzitzis, or the shame matzah mitzvah, or the shame, whatever else has to be done, l'shma, is that actually called the shma or not? Okay. Many, 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 many of the poskim were the opinion that that's all called the shma, no problem in the slightest bit. Many, many other poskim were of the opinion that that is not called the shma, unless a person actually hand makes the thing, and during the process says, I am doing this, the Shema. When I press a button, I cause the system to work. They felt that that wasn't called that the item was being made lishma. The button was pressed lishma, but the spinning and the whatever else was not necessarily lishma according to those poskim. Generally speaking, in this regards, the machlokas was split between the Litvish poskim and the Chassidish poskim. The Litvish poskim but for the most part held that machine things are all able to be called the Shema. The Chassidish poskim, for the most part, held that the machine things were not called being made l'shma. That's why Chassidim would, for example, when it comes to matzah, would only use matzahs that were handmade, from start to finish. Litvish people would use, machine-made matzahs because, again, the process they felt was able to be done l'shma, even though you're using a machine. The same thing is true when it comes to tzitzis. Now, if a person, for no major, even though, again, bottom line, if you're the normal, most of us in the Roma, the regular Litvish persuasion, some of us have, have Hasidic background or practices, so those people would want to try to make sure that what they were doing was handmade, l'shem mitzvahs, whatever that would be. If you're from the Litvish persuasion, which is many, the machine made really could be okay. But again, since it is a machlokas, as with everything else, if it's not a big deal to avoid the issue and have something that was handmade, l'shem mitzvahs, whatever, and there's no major difference in price and cost, etc., it's always better just to make sure you're safe and not taking a risk at something. In this particular area, the strings that are made by machine or made by hand are really pretty much the same price. There's a very, very slight difference between the two. But definitely, if a person could buy what's called an avodas yad pair of strings, that would be a smart thing to do. Again, they're extremely, extremely common. Now, the next issue about lishma is the thing towards the end of the page over here in Siman Yudalit, where we speak about what parts of the making of the tzitzis has to be made done lishma. We know that the strings have to be in lishma, and now that I'm going to make the tzitzis, what tie the tzitzis on the beged, what the lishma parts have to be there. So, the mechaber brings that if a person tied the tzitzis onto the beged and didn't have kavana to l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, he says, listen, there is a Rambam that holds that they're kosher. Says the mechaber, you can wear them, but you shouldn't make a bracha on that pair. In other words, if you want to make a bracha on your tzitzis, you should put the tzitzis on the beged, the shem mitzvah tzitzis. What does that entail? Mishabura explains that the first thing, and this is people oftentimes make a mistake like this, the first thing that has to be made, the shema, and Mishabura seems to imply this is ma'akev, that one would not be yotze if he didn't do this, is that the inserting of the strings into the hole and the garment, when you put them in the hole, that already has to be done, the shem mitzvah tzitzis. You would have to say, before you did that, I'm doing this, the shem mitzvah tzitzis. For that reason, many, many, many people are medactic, that they try not to buy some of the ready-made pairs of tzitzis. It's very, very easy to forget, to not do things properly. Many of the people, not to cause aspersion at anybody, but that are professional tzitzis makers, and that's what they do when they make tzitzis for bags and stores, are not always the most on the ball halachic, people out there. And experience has led a lot of poskim to recommend, like, probably better just to make your own and know that you're putting them in the baguette, the shame mitzvah tzitzis. Just this past summer, there was an incident, I remember. There was someone a bit older than you, but not that much older, who apparently was very enthusiastic about tzitzis and started a tzitzis business and selling tzitzis and making tzitzis with a whole website and was shipping, whatever it was, and how all these cards and things made up, how to make your perfect pair of tzitzis and whatever it was. So he asked if he could assist me one day in one of these little tzitzis groups I had with a group of kids. And he wanted to hand out these papers. It was very nice. They had very nice explanations of what to do and whatever it was. I looked at them quickly and I said, do you mind not giving them out? And he said, why? I said, because if people follow your instructions, no one's going to be making tzitzis and they're all going to be making bracha l'batal. You have a problem. And he looked at me, whoa, like, what are you talking about? So I pointed out to him that nowhere on your list of things you forgot to leave out that you have to say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis before you make a pair of tzitzis. That's ma'akev. Leave the thing out. You have a problem when you do that. So I tried nicely to explain, this is someone I sort of had a kesher with, and that was a bit of a Talmud from years back also, not in yeshiva, from the summer times, had been in my shiur for a number of summers, and explained with all the enthusiasm, this is one of the examples, I'm just saying this as a general comment, Kirov, Chinuch, etc. Don't do these things unless you actually know what you're talking about. Fair rule. In other words, you can be like the most meaning, well-intentioned of people, but if you don't really know what the rules are, so then you can actually trip people up a little bit. So I'm not claiming that I know everything myself, but there's something that is important to keep in mind. And for that reason, like I said before, it is definitely kedai to always try to make your own tzitzis, and therefore remember that you actually say outright, beferish, that I'm doing this now l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. Now, there's two things that a person could do. One of them is just very recommended. The other one is a little bit more of a hider. Before you start making them, it's kedai. You can say these things in English. Whatever I'm about to do today when I'm making my tzitzis should be l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. If you make a general comment like that, it's pretty clear that would cover anything that you'd be doing like for the rest of the time. It's not crazy to remind yourself as you're doing the key parts of the making of the tzitzis that this is being done l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, and say that over a couple of times. When would one want to say that? The Gemara has a din that the Kesher Elyon is Daraisa. Again, you saw that halacha also. The Kesher Elyon is a machlokes, but we assume the Kesher Elyon is when you stick the strings into the hole, okay? You tie the double knot, you wrap the first seven knots, and then you tie the double knot again. The second double knot, after you made the first trecha seven times, the double knot, that's what most of the Rishonim hold is called the Kesher Elyon. The first Kesher, after you made the first part of the tzitzis, that is enough midoraisa to be yotzei the mitzvah. That has to be made l'shma then. So when you're tying and somehow that's the first double knot that you make. So when you're tying those two knots, the person should be careful also if he can, the chatchiva, to say that I'm doing this l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. Yeah.
So you talked about buying pre-made tzitzis. If it has an extra bedat erecharedus, is that assumed that
it's l'shma? No, you can't. If it has a good hechsher, that'd be better, more of a good chance that maybe it's okay than if it has a not good hechsher on it. But hechsherim are sometimes dubious things. And if you have the option of actually making sure that you're doing it correctly, so then that's definitely a great thing to do.
For like now, should we have to do all the strings the entire? All the strings, the same mitzvah for our own
parents. When you're getting it, your next pair, it's definitely try to do it.
Untie it and then.
No, just get a bag, get strings, and make them. Now, I don't know for sure what they do in the States. I know in a number of the stores in Yerushalayim, they actually do have an option. There could be someone in the store that they'll say if you pay them a little extra, but if you pay them, they'll make the tzitzis for you on the spot. So if someone is doing that, you can actually sit there and watch and say, okay, let's do this. Meaning if you don't know how to do it, and you're not really sure how to tie a pair of tzitzis, you can actually just hire someone to do it, or you can ask your friend the yeshiva also. But if you want to get it quick and done right there in front of you, you can ask someone to do it, and they'll you can just make sure they do it correctly, and then you know that you're going to be safe. Okay, what I think we are going to do over here is either pause or stop. But I just want to, some of the other things we touched upon, the Kesher Elyon, I just explained what exactly it is and what has to be done.
The strings.
What?
The strings, maybe? Are there any locals we should be knowing about that?
Mm-hmm. So that's what we said, they should be done l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. I just want to get you restored and get you buy a pair of tzitzis that are made correctly. What was that?
The nekev
on the corner. So that, if you have on the top of page 2, you have a chart over here that tells you the following simple thing. The hole in the corner should be let's start from the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. The nekev should be no further away than a sheet of gimel etzbos from the edge of the beged, okay? And it should not be closer than what's called a kesher gudel, the knuckle of your thumb, from the edge of the beged, in between those two sizes. Now, let's just look for argument's sake, if you're the two opinions. The Chazon Ish holds gimel etzbos is 7.2 centimeters, the kesher gudel is 3.5. It should be no closer than 3.5, but no further than 7.2. Reb Chaim Noah had, once again, smaller shiurim. Gimel etzbos is 6 centimeters. A kesher gudel is 4 centimeters. If a person can, and again, you just bring a ruler and measure where the hole is, it's certainly a great idea to, once again, to try to make sure that you're actually safe in terms of where the hole is. So if the hole is, again, here, the chumrah now works out to foe. The safe works out in a little favor to Reb Chaim Noah. You want the hole to be no further than 6 centimeters away. Again, if it's further than that, Reb Chaim Noah would have said, hey, the hole is too far, and that's going to be possible. So if it can be within 6 centimeters, that would be great. In terms of being close to the edge of the baguette, again, you don't want it to be too close to the edge. So if it could be, it could be 4 centimeters away, that would be, that would be great. And in that way, you knew that you weren't too close to the edge of the baguette. Again, it's a simple measurement, you can find tzitzis that work that out. Some give a general rule. If you're not really, really sure and you don't have a ruler, but you have a match, an Israeli match, not an American match, but an Israeli match, like pretty much matches up to the sizes that would be pretty okay in terms of where the hole should be, l'kolatea. So that you could use that as a gauge if you don't have a ruler. Yeah.
Is this hole location from the diagonal of the baguette or from the
vertical L shape,
horizontal?
From both.
Both horizontal and.
Yeah.
The kesher gudel of Reb Chaim Noah is bigger than the Chazon Ish's because
he measures it. Go again. The kesher gudel of Reb Chaim Noah is bigger than the Chazon Ish's.
Why? Because he measures it differently. That's
the way when they experimented this
year,
and that's the way it came out.
So should be
cautious for Reb Chaim Noah. If one could, that would be safe. Also, that would be the safer way to do things in that area. If you have time, it's a good idea to remind yourselves about some of the last thing on the sheet over here. This is just for your own self edification. The Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura both explain to you many of the ramazim, many of the allusions that the numbers of ties and twists and knots have in terms of like reminding about all different things. It says us was remind you about Lamantizku, it's called Mitzvah Sashem Vasisim Osam, and Lamaisa, it's much more enriching and fulfilling to be reminded if you actually have some clue what the things are reminding you of. And there's a tremendous amount of symbolism in terms of the numbers of things that are done. Each one of the size of the tzitzis has strings and knots that equal all of the above in every single example. That we have the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad is numerically alluded to in the Yom Gimel Ikarim. Are alluded to each one of the sides of the tzitzit. There's a lot of different things that are there. Not a bad idea to just remind yourselves of the Mishnah Berurah, what they are, and in that way, when you make a pair of tzitzit, you can like actually be thinking the right thoughts. When you look at them, you can know what it is that you're looking at also, and then hopefully, Be'ezer Hashem, we can all brush up and have a kiyum and mitzvah. Again, I'm going to leave the ruler here on the table. Anyone wants to take a look, they can only do so.
One that I work.